This is a HeadGum Podcast.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Cheryl.
Tig. Okay, what do we talk about?
We talk about a bunch of losers.
Songs.
We talk about
song talk.
We talk about underpants.
Underpants.
That comes up a lot.
Yes.
And there's a lot of whispering. There's some secrets.
There's some secrets that we tell people.
And we tell people that there are secrets, but we don't necessarily confirm any secrets.
Yes, yeah. But we will pass them along. Secrets are revealed.
Yeah.
Ladies and jerks, welcome to Victoria's Secret, Angels and Demons.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling
faintly. I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Hey, Tig.
Hey, Cheryl. Hey.
Woo! How are ya?
I'm good. I feel like I look tired because I've been a little exhausted. Mm-mm. I was filming in L.A. This is a braggadocious word.
Okay.
I was filming in L.A.
Uh-huh.
On the morning show, which I can now say.
Okay.
Then went to New York,
yeah.
Was filming there. Then went to Toronto, was filming Star Trek.
Wow.
Then went to Honolulu for a show. Then went back to New York and directed an HBO special. And then got on a plane.
Alert!
And then got on a plane, flew home yesterday.
And here you are.
I don't even know what is up or down. I'm like so
exhausted.
Yeah.
That's the price you pay for fame and fortune.
and braggadocious alerts
like there's no tomorrow.
I know.
So how did Honolulu go? It finally happened.
It was canceled when my stepfather passed away, then rebooked, and then I got COVID, and then rebooked, and then I finally went there. It was so fun. And
I love Honolulu.
I do too. You know, you get the beautiful beaches and then you get like the
little city life if you want it.
Yeah. So I had a good time. I've been there before. Braggadocious alert. But it's just good to be home because I've been gone almost 3 weeks and I'm pretty much home. I just have just a show in November, but aside from that, I'm just on hold for the morning show. Braggadocious alert!
I like that you call out your own braggadocious alerts.
Well, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Mm-hmm. I'm doing good.
Okay.
I mean, you know, my mom, Cracklin' Rosie,
mm-hmm.
we call her Cracky for short.
Sure.
Is in Florida and she's still evacuated. She's living in this community where there's only one road down. It's like where a lake and a river meet, mm-hmm. and the river keeps rising so that it's washed out the road so they can't get back into her building. And so she's now she's hunkered down with Dr. Becky Hines.
Oh my gosh. And do they see an end in sight?
Hopefully we'll find out more today. But my mom is a very, you know, she's spicy.
Yeah.
She's, I think, 81, but don't tell anybody I told her that. One time we were in People magazine.
Wait, you just said, don't tell anyone I told her that.
I told you that.
Okay, well, that makes way more sense. Age.
We were in People magazine and and People magazine, for whatever reason, I don't know if they still do it, but you know, they always put your age in parentheses. I don't have anything to do with that. You know what I mean? It's like, and my mom wasn't speaking to me. And I didn't even know why. And I was like, are you mad at me? And she said, well, I didn't need my age printed in People magazine. It's like, oh my God, that's why you haven't been talking to me.
How long did the cold shoulder last?
For months, you know.
No.
It was, yes, it was.
When did this happen?
This happened right after Kat was born. This is a long time ago, right?
So
was like, it was a Mother's Day thing where it was a picture of Kat as a baby and me and my mom. It was like three generations. But my mom's spicy and she's driving my sister crazy because she's doing a few things that's driving everybody nuts.
Let's hear it.
Well, one thing is she keeps saying, y'all, I love the F word. And we're like, okay.
Then why isn't she saying it?
You know, and then she goes, fun. Y'all, I'm talking about having fun. What'd y'all think? And we're like, okay. So, you know, the first time she says it, it's like, oh, okay. But like the 20th time she says it, we're like, y'all, I love the F word. You know what that is? We're like, yeah, it's fun. You know. And then the other thing, she's on this, she has it in her mind that she is solely responsible for me and my sister, my brother's successes. Mm. So when we're in a group, she'll say, y'all, I remember when Cheryl got Curb Your Enthusiasm, she had an audition and she said to me, Mama, I'm so scared. I can't even go to this audition. I'm so scared. And I said, Cheryl, you go to that audition. You don't know. You might just get it. And Cheryl said, all right, Mama, I'm going to go. And my sister and I are looking at each other like, what is she talking about?
It sounds like a Lifetime movie. Which are good movies.
They are good movies.
But the best part is that I think you've told that story once or twice on this podcast.
Well, then that's called a bluebell. You should have yelled out bluebell. But, you know, now that my mom's around us all so much, it's really, you know, it's a few times a day.
What about Dr. Becky Hines? How does she... how'd she get her where she is, stuck on a one-way road in the middle of a hurricane?
Cracklin says, y'all, Becky came to me and said, Mama, I don't know if I can do this. I want to get my doctorate, but I don't know if I can. And I said, Becky, you get out there and do it.
You dust your pants off. You dust your britches off. And you run along now, and you go get yourself that degree.
And we're like, just the idea of us going, Mama, I'm so scared. It's like,
I picture you all with like just dirty faces looking up at your mama.
Dirty faces, holes in your jeans, and just Mama, I can't.
Mama, Mama, what do I do? I want to be a star. Well, you dust off your britches and you just jump aboard that Greyhound bus and you take it out there to Hollywood. And she did. And you're like, I didn't take a Greyhound.
Okay. All right. Well, if that's how you remember.
How did you get to Hollywood?
I drove my Toyota Tercel.
Mm. Alone or with someone?
Oh, well, I hope he's not listening. But I drove out here with my ex-boyfriend.
Oh, he's listening.
That I broke up with before I was supposed to come out here. And I told him, look, we can date for a while, but I am going to LA in 4 months. So it's like, this is a limited series.
And you did, on Lifetime, you didn't want him to go with you to Hollywood?
No, I didn't. Mm. He drove me nutballs.
Why?
Well, he was a drummer and he would drum on the dashboard.
Oh, okay.
And loved Phil Collins and loved jazz. And I'm like,
you don't like jazz?
I do not. I don't. I actively don't.
Wow. I didn't know you were terrible. I didn't know you were, a terrible person.
I don't like it. And we started driving from Orlando and we got to my mom's house when she was living in Tallahassee. And I said, look, you're going to have to go back home. I can't. There's no way I can take this cross country. I can't.
I'm on his side.
And he said, I've never been out of Florida. And this was my one chance to see the country. And I was like, oh my God. So I was like, okay. So we drove across the country together.
And he was beating on the...
Oh my God.
And why didn't you tell him to stop?
Oh, I did. But you know, it's one of those, it just came instinctively. He didn't even know he was doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh good. And then we got to New Orleans and I was like, well, let's, you know, get out and have lunch and try, you know, whatever.
Well, a lot of jazz there. A lot of jazz. Well, yeah, that's not, like jazz, yeah.
That's
Depot.
Jazz Central.
Yeah.
Jazz Depot. But he didn't ever want to try any new food. He just wanted French fries and a cheeseburger.
What drew you to him?
Well, he's funny. Crickets. Crickets. He was funny.
Was he cute?
He was cute. He was cute and funny.
How long did you date him?
4 months. Like I said, this was a very limited. This was like, I can slip you in this window if you want, but it's a short.
Well, I'm sorry.
What did
you just say?
Hello? Is this thing on?
Hi.
Okay, Tig. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. We haven't even introduced what we're talking
about.
Okay,
go ahead. I'm sorry. It just was riveting.
Was it riveting?
No. But it was nice to catch up. You know, I've been gone for a while. We haven't connected.
We haven't heard all of our old stories that we've told many times.
Bluebell.
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 You guys, today we're talking
about... So in the future, I can just interrupt you and say, Bluebell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bluebell.
Don't interrupt me, though, because I love to drag out the old stories and tell them like it's the first time.
Oh, by the way, I'll say Bluebell, and you'll still do it. So I guess you have the option if somebody says that to you.
Yeah, you can keep going, too. Who cares? But just know Bluebell.
Just know everyone knows Bluebell.
Bluebell.
Today we're talking about Victoria's Secret Angels and Demons. Mm-hmm. Victoria's Secret Angels and Demons is a 2022 three-part docuseries directed by Matt Timeour. Let's say Timeour.
Time out.
Directed by Matt Timeour. It tells the story of the ubiquitous mall brand founded by powerful billionaire Les Wexner and tracks the ties between Wexner and Jeffrey Epstein. Mm-hmm. Victoria's Secret Angels and Demons is available to watch on Hulu. Yo, boy.
Yo, boy.
Can we just start out with a yo, boy?
Yeah, well, you texted the other day when I was somewhere between Honolulu and Toronto saying...
Braggadocious alert!
Bluebell. that you couldn't wait to hear what I had to say about this documentary. But it's like, why would it be surprising what I have to say about this documentary? Because I feel like what I have to say about this documentary is one gigantic Bluebell. Bluebell.
I think you're missing the definition of Bluebell.
Bluebell. A story you've already told, right?
Right. So you feel like this
I feel like I've told the story of how I feel, which is these people are losers. And just, I don't even, I guess what I'm learning is, unfortunately, a lot of this stuff is just some human behavior.
Well, it kind of goes back to all of our documentaries that we've seen about cults mm-hmm. and cult leaders.
Yeah.
It has the same vibe,
yeah.
doesn't it?
That's what I mean, is it's just-
yeah.
I don't. Are you predisposed to this? Are you
like the people that follow these people?
Yeah,
that are
and
like,
that act
oh,
this way.
He's talking so loudly and confidently. He must really know what he's talking about.
People that follow them. People that act this way. people are flawed. People make mistakes.
Yes.
All of that. But yes. This is not that.
This is not that. Okay, so just to let the listeners know.
Oh, right.
So Les Wexner, I can't wait to say that 10 times in a row. Les Wexner is the richest man in Ohio.
Or we could just call him Grossy Face. Nothing against his look, but like.
No, but as the story unfolds.
Ick-a-doodle-doo.
Mm-hmm.
I always think about how people's names can sometimes be what they are.
Right. Like Wiener.
And he's less.
Oh. Mm. He's less.
Okay, we have to take a break.
Oh, no. I have not even told.
Okay, finish what you're saying, and then we'll take a break.
No, because it's too long. Take a break.
No, do it.
Well, so this guy, Les Wexner.
You know what? I'll take a break. No, go ahead. Say it.
No. Okay. This guy, Les Wexner, he was very, very close to his mother, and his father was in women's apparel.
Mm-hmm.
And he really wanted to make a name for himself. So there was already a Victoria's Secret. Okay, this was already a company.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically got involved. Mm-hmm. There's more when we get back.
We'll be right back on Tig and Cheryl True Story, where we whisper about things.
Whispers.
Okay.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we are back with Tig and Cheryl True Story. This is a very hard-hitting documentary podcast.
Go ahead, Cheryl, please.
I don't want to interrupt you, my dear friend.
I was talking to you. This is very Dr. Becky Hines heavy episode.
Okay.
But every time I call her, she's watching my nephew Jackson golf because he's on a golf team.
Mm-hmm.
And she's hiding behind a tree talking like this.
Is she a golf commentator?
She golf what?
Well, that's how golf commentators talk like that.
Yes, like, that's what she sounds like.
A tree, and he is about to hit the little ball with that club, and it is flying into the sand pit and went in a hole.
Yes, that's what it sounds like, because she's like, I'm just trying not to get hit by the ball, and I, you know, and Jackson's doing great. Okay. It's like, okay, you want to call me back when you can talk full voice? Okay, Tig.
Yeah.
Wexner. I guess he bought this company?
Chill.
Gay Raymond inspired her husband, Roy Raymond, to found Victoria's Secret, and the brand was Victorian-themed and nearly bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
And in Les's imagination, Victoria's Secret was a woman's paradise. And he realized that brands needed stories, so he invented an elaborate backstory for an English woman named Victoria Stuart White.
Okay.
Do you want to hear the fictitious story about Victoria?
Sure, sure. Let's have a clip. It'll sound like we're
professional.
I am Victoria Stuart White. This spring, I shall turn 36 years old. Father taught me about business, but mother was determined that I develop my soul, my passion, and my femininity. Mother was passionate, a fiery French woman with a quick temper and a healthy disrespect for the English and their stodgy ways. She used to tease Father about everything.
Okay. So this is a made-up story.
Very similar to my own life story.
To your own. Were you a fiery French woman?
Mm-hmm. I am French.
Are you French?
Well, my first name is Mathilde. Yes.
Mathilde. Can I just say something funny?
Please.
Well, this documentary has lots of footage of all the models on the
catwalk.
Meow. So there are lots of that going on, and then there's a shot of like one of the makeup artists like rubbing body makeup on one of the models' butts, basically. Mm-hmm. But it made me think of we did a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where.
Alert!
Because you guys, I'm on the hit show, Curb Your Enthusiasm. But there was an episode where Larry and I go to the beach and Larry sees his therapist in a thong. Mm-hmm. And he decides he cannot go back to this therapist. And when we were shooting the episode, this actor, John Plachette, who played the therapist, very funny. Like when you see him, you're like, oh yeah, he's such a great actor. And he had already shot all, you know, the scenes of him and Larry in the office. And, you know, he's wearing like a suit or whatever. And then I walk in to the makeup trailer one day and he's literally being rubbed down with body makeup in his thong. And I'm like, oh, this is what we do for show business. And that's how the day started, that he had to spend all day in his thong at the beach.
There is no job that could get me rubbed down in body makeup in a thong.
What? You would never be in a thong in a show?
No.
I bet you would.
What is the show that would call for me in a thong?
Oh, Thomas is showing us a picture. Yeah, you really should watch that Curb episode because it's pretty spectacular. Yeah, he's in a striped thong. Tig, I think look at Ken Jeong in The Hangover, running around completely nude.
Right, but I feel like Ken is fine with doing anything.
Well, you could be fine doing anything. Aren't you comfortable with your body? You stood topless and did stand up.
But I didn't have on a thong.
I think you should face your fears.
Okay. Next stand-up special, thong.
A thong. Only a thong.
My brave thong reveal.
Oh, by the way, what's his name? Les Wexner in this documentary. He likes to give himself credit for bringing the thong to America. Did you notice that?
I like to picture one dirty thong in a suitcase that he brought to. That's what I'm picturing when somebody says, I brought the thong to America. I picture it where he's like using tweezers to hold it up and he's like,
look, guys,
this is
let's
it.
All do this.
That's.
Thank you, Les Wexner.
Were you one of those people that wore thongs that did a peekaboo out of your jeans in the back?
I don't know if I ever did the peekaboo.
Yeah.
I probably by that time I was too old.
It wasn't my favorite.
It's not a great look.
I never liked it.
By the way, I just saw somewhere that somebody's bringing it back. You're welcome for all the clarity.
It's going to be me.
Okay. The thing about Les Wexner is he was very successful. At that time, that's when everybody went to the mall to shop. Mm-hmm. So he knew how to make a store so enticing and interesting and intriguing that people could not just walk by it without going in to see what it was about. And that's true about Victoria's Secret. The stores always look great and like, oh,
Stephanie said they don't have stores anymore, that they're only online. Is that true?
I think they have some stores.
Oh, they do? Okay.
I mean, I feel like I bought a push-up bra not that long ago. Braggadocious!
You're bragging that you can wear a bra and I can't.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
ooh, it just got sad. Just got sad.
So sad.
But also, did you find it interesting that he owned Abercrombie and Fitch?
Oh, he did? Right.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, also, because we did that documentary, but people are intrigued when you walk by the store that you're like, I guess I gotta see what it's about.
I don't think I ever wandered into a Victoria's Secret or an Abercrombie and Fitch.
No?
No, he didn't lure me anywhere. I walked by going, interesting.
Stay out of that place.
Yeah, hard pass.
Hard pass. No thanks.
Hard passerby.
Oh, and then they started the Victoria's Secret catalog.
Mm-hmm.
That was sort of the beginning of disaster, don't you think?
Well, yeah.
It started out classy, you know, like, oh.
In quotes.
Started out as classy, and then they started getting more and more revealing. Mm-hmm. And then after they realized, oh, guys in the household are now getting a hold of the Victoria's Secret catalog, and now it's turning into a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Ew.
Ew.
Ew, guys.
Guys. Why, guys? Why?
You ruin everything, guys.
You have to ruin everything.
These poor women just want to put some underpants on.
Fancy panties on.
Just some underpants.
And then they turned it into.
And then you guys go and ruin everything. Make it into something it was not.
His first store, Les opened his first store, The Limited. And it was so named because of its limited selection, which is a funny name for a store when you think about it. It's like, you guys, we don't have much.
Mm-hmm.
It's very limited in here.
Yeah.
We only have a few things.
I worked at The Limited.
You did?
I think I've told this story. Bluebell.
Bluebell it.
Okay. I worked at my friend Eliza, who...
Hey, Eliza. Hey.
There's no world where she's listening to this.
You think Tom, my ex-boyfriend from Florida, is listening?
Yeah. And hey, Tom. Hey. Eliza, I think, managed The Limited when we were in high school. Maybe she was assistant. I don't know. I mean, she's a real go-getter. So it doesn't surprise me.
There's no way to know, and it doesn't matter.
There is a way. I could text her and be like, did you manage him? But anyway.
We don't care.
They had a job opening during the holidays to work in the stockroom.
Okay.
So I went in there working as a lesbian stockroom troll. And
they wouldn't let you in the front of the store?
Right. Oh, she wasn't the manager. I think she was maybe an assistant manager or something. Because you know those tins of popcorn during the holidays?
Yeah.
It's like
yes.
Cheddar and
yes,
you know, all the different
corn.
Yeah.
I know. Nobody eats the plain.
Oh, I do. And so they...
You eat the plain one?
Well, I
ate
them all.
Cheddar and
I ate
corn
them all. I ate them all.
Okay.
So I was in there stocking the shelves, you know. And I was also treating myself to the popcorn in the tin because it was back there.
You were working hard. Go ahead.
Yeah. And, you know, the clothes were in like plastic little covers, so I wasn't ruining them with little popcorn fingers.
Okay.
And the manager came in and she said, Tig. And I turned around. You don't know this story? I had cheddar cheese on my nose. She started laughing so hard she couldn't breathe, and it went on for so long, and I just stood there without emotion or any change in my face staring at her because I was like, oh, I bet I have
something
on my nose.
And she was fine about it?
No, she just goes, oh my God, you have cheese on your nose. And I just stood there. And I just lifted my sleeve and I wiped it off and I said, okay.
What else?
And then she kind of pulled herself together and then told me whatever manager kind of thing that she had to tell me.
But she didn't say stop eating the cheese corn?
No, because it was put back there for the trolls to have. Yeah.
But probably on her break. I think that's what they were intending.
No, they opened it and put it, you know, like here. Happy holidays. And then I had a little cheese on my nose. And this woman, I always think it's so funny when people crumble. Because she was projecting. That was the worst case scenario to her.
Right.
to have cheese
if
on her
somebody
nose.
Somebody caught her with cheese on her nose.
Yeah. Whereas I was like, okay, yeah, okay. I have cheese on my nose. Okay.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Well, what do you need?
Did I tell you the story about when I was a bartender at a hotel here in Los Angeles, and they had this little bar inside the restaurant.
Okay.
We called it being in the cage because it was kind of a cage where you would make drinks for the waiters and waitresses when the people at the restaurants needed drinks. Mm-hmm. So you were, you know, you were just back there and nobody saw you. And I was going to go out after my shift and I had a curling iron plugged in behind the bar and my manager, and usually the managers don't come inside this little bar. Right. And he walked in. I was like, oh no. And he's like, what is this? I said, that's a curling iron. He said,
I have a life outside of the cage.
He said, I don't understand what it's doing here.
Yeah.
And I said, well, yeah, I have an engagement right after work and it's pretty slow.
And I'm from Florida.
Even you can agree with that. I'm not really doing much. So why not just curl my hair while I'm back? Needless to say, it didn't go over well.
Okay.
But, they didn't fire me. They didn't even write me up. They were just like, come on, no personal hygiene behind the bar.
We have to take a break.
Oh, okay.
We'll be right back on Tig and Cheryl, True Story.
True Story.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And we're back on Tig and Cheryl True Story.
Okay, here we go. So he started Victoria's Secret. He really tapped into
what people wanted,
what women wanted, because he was saying, and they were saying in this documentary, there was really no place for women to buy
underpants,
fun
underpants.
Why do you have to call it underpants? So it was kind of like, oh, well, let's give the ladies a beautiful place to shop where they feel special. And it's like, yes, you should feel great. Which I get. It always smells good in there. It's always weird when you see like a guy lurking around in Victoria's Secret. You're like, uh-uh.
Never been there. What if you see a lesbian lurking around in there that looked like me, like in a sweater, soccer shorts.
I'd welcome
slippers.
I'd welcome it.
Hair askew.
Welcome it.
I'm looking for some underpants. That would be so fun to go into a Victoria's Secret.
And say, I'm looking for some underpants.
I wanted to get some underpants.
But don't you think they've heard it all? These people have heard it all. Imagine. Mm-hmm. Don't imagine it. I think it's too much.
I know, but I could take the bit even further. But go ahead.
Oh, take the bit even further.
No, we got to wrap this up.
Here's the long and the short of it. Okay. Is that at some point, this is when it was weird, and I didn't really know this. Mm-hmm. At some point, Jeffrey Epstein, who was a swindler, I still don't even understand how he got to where he was, but became a financial advisor for Les Wexner.
Yeah.
And let's just break it down for one second.
Break it down.
Okay, because this is what they're alluding to.
Yeah.
I'm not starting this. I'm just repeating it. Okay.
I wouldn't even say they were alluding.
Well, I like it when the one lady was like, I'm not saying they had a sexual relationship, but.
Translation. <It's> like, okay.
Whatever you need to, information you need to get out, you say, look, I'm not saying you're a bad friend, but.
You're the worst friend I've ever had.
But so the long and the story of it is that.
That's fine.
Jeffrey became Les's right-hand man. Somehow, Les became Jeffrey's only client, and Les was so intrigued. We're not sure why. It's never defined why he did this. But at some point, he let Jeffrey Epstein have power of attorney over all of his money. Mm-hmm. That is crazy. Mm-hmm. So people are mumbling.
Kind of whispering.
Maybe there were whispers in this documentary, maybe. There was some sort of, because what we know about Jeffrey Epstein is, I think he would, once again, I'm not a detective. I don't know. I haven't seen it with my own eyes. But he would videotape people in compromising positions with, you know, if they're with an underage girl or whomever. Mm-hmm. And then I think he would hold on to all of this blackmail material. And so the whisper down the lane is that maybe that happened with Les, because Les was, he didn't get married till he was, I don't know what, in his 40s or something.
I would have thought 50s. Or is
maybe
it, 50s.
There's no way to know.
There's no way to know.
But so people were like, well, maybe, you know, he doesn't like women and that's not his thing, and which is fine. Great.
Cheryl's fine with gay people.
I love gay people.
Thank you.
But I guess he was not comfortable. Also, I'm saying, I don't know, Les Wexner. But whatever there was between him and Jeffrey Epstein, it seems like Jeffrey Epstein had something on him. Is that what you got? Is that the takeaway?
It seems like, yeah, he had a lot of stuff on some people. And we don't know if he was making headlines, who he was.
National headlines.
National headlines.
No.
We don't know. But there are some whispers, like Cheryl said, in this documentary.
So that became a big part of the story, because at some point, Jeffrey Epstein was going around telling women that he was looking for the next Victoria's Secret model, that he worked for Victoria's Secret. And this got back to Les, and Les was like, wow, that's unacceptable. But then nobody ever really did anything. And then it started coming out stories about women saying Jeffrey Epstein was inappropriate. The other guy that Les was partners with, what was his name?
Who looked like Alec Baldwin.
Oh, do not.
He did. Every time I said to Stephanie, I was like, what, Alec Baldwin's in this?
Stories started coming out about his partner being inappropriate with the models.
Kojak.
Ed Razek.
Ed Razek.
Okay. I thought it was Kojak, but yeah.
So people thought that Les, because Les really projected this image of himself as a nice guy who cared about his employees and cared about people, but did nothing about any of these.
Yes.
So that was the problem. And there was also a guy, Jean-Luc Brunel, who started a modeling agency. But I like that somebody in this documentary called him a super creep. Have you ever heard that term before?
Also, it applies to so many people in this super documentary. Creep. This documentary could have been called Super Creeps.
Oh, this would have been so good if the title was Super Creep. Super Creeps.
Yeah. And by the way, I was asking Stephanie about this last night when we were plowing through it, the documentary. Yeah. I said, doesn't it feel like people call it Victoria's Secret? Because, you know, you lose that S.
Victoria's Secret.
You know what I mean? Victoria's Secret.
Well, it sort of runs into
that's what I'm saying. Victoria's Secret. Victoria's. Nobody takes that pause to say, oh, I'm going to buy some underpants at Victoria's Secret.
You sound like a classically trained actor.
Wait till you see me on the morning show. But Victoria's Secret, I remember a comedian before I got into stand-up. I don't know who the comedian was, but did a joke saying, Victoria's Secret, I know what her secret is. She's a slut.
Oh, that was the whole, that's the whole joke?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you liked it so much you committed it to memory?
I have so many memories of stand-up before I got into stand-up. I would just be like, oh my God, this joke, whether it was good or bad, like I could remember anything. I was
just
so
stick in your mind.
Yeah. And now I'm like, what are they saying? What did they say? What happened? You know, like I cannot.
No, I know. I know.
Unless
I
mean, they're really good. I can't take in or remember what people are saying.
This is how my mom tells a joke. Mm-hmm. It's a heavy Cracklin' Rosie episode too. My mom told a joke where she said, y'all want to hear a joke? And we're like, yes. And she goes, I can't remember the setup, but it's something like something. And then the punchline is Benny Albergetti in a taxi, honey. We're like, what? What just happened?
I would love it if I could make a living doing that.
And then here's another punchline.
Okay.
Here's another joke that she told. Blah, blah, blah. I can't remember exactly what happened. There's a guy and a cat. And anyway, the punchline is, pardon me, boys. Is that the cat that chewed your new shoes?
Why do all of her her jokes end in songs?
I don't know. I don't know.
That is so
funny.
But
what could be the setup where that would be funny? Either one of those.
Is she cuckoo?
She's the F word.
Yeah. I had Stephanie's mother open for me once at Largo because she told a joke that she made up. And she, before she could get it, I was like, okay, let's hear it. And it was our families driving around New Orleans at the time, taste testing cakes for our wedding. And Stephanie's mother, Carol, was like, oh, I made up a joke. And I was like, let's hear it. She could not catch her breath. She was laughing so hard. She couldn't get the joke out of her mouth. And we were all patiently waiting. And then she finally told it through like tears of laughter.
Mm-hmm.
It made no sense and wasn't funny. And yeah. So I asked her to please come open for me. And she was like, well, nobody's going to think it's funny. And I was like, exactly. But they're going to laugh at you trying to tell it. And then it ended up an episode on This American Life.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
And did she do exactly the same thing when she got up there?
She did, but I stayed out on stage with her and I ribbed her through the whole thing. And It's like a nearly 15 minute thing.
Bit. But
she walked out on stage with her purse on, by the way. So if anybody has free time, go listen to the This American Life with my mother-in-law telling a joke that she made up.
And does she ever get to the punchline?
She does. Well, you have to listen.
Okay, I'm going to allow listen to it. Shoot. Okay, where are we in this thing?
Terrible people.
Oh. You know, and you do see some of the models from those days. And these models became superstars, and they toured the country in their underwear, and people were
underpants.
Thrilled about it. There was one model that was talking, and she said, they were talking about, you know, the pressure to be thin. And she said, I didn't have an eating disorder, but I didn't eat much for 10 years.
I know. I heard it that too. Like,
10 years? That's a long time not to eat much.
Yeah. Good thing you skated around that issue.
I wouldn't call it an eating disorder. It's like,
I remember my stepfather, when he would get past his ideal weight, he'd go on a diet. And I remember Stephanie asking him, Rick, what did you do to lose weight? And he said, I stop eating. I stop eating until I'm the weight I want to be.
It's not rocket science.
Yeah. I stop eating.
There was one guy that I know that he lost a lot of weight, and I saw him. I said, whoa, I might have already told you guys this before, but how did you do it? And he said, I only ate pickles and coffee. It's like, pickles and coffee? That is so disgusting. He's like, yeah. After a while, you don't even want to eat that many pickles.
And then the pounds just fly off. Actually, Rick, my stepfather, he said he would supplement his diet with some crackers. If he got really hungry, he'd have some crackers. But other than that, he didn't eat till he got to his ideal weight.
I remember reading Cosmopolitan magazine. Is that even still out there?
I don't know.
But one of their diet tips was to only eat cat food for a week.
No. No, they did
like
not.
The dry. Listen, this was back in the 80s or something. I just remember thinking, well, yeah, of course, because how much cat food are you going to eat in a week?
None.
You're just going to stare at the box or the bag.
Wouldn't that be like, heavy on the carbs? It would seem like.
I have no idea what's in cat food.
Meow mix. It seems like Meow mix. I don't know what's in it either. I mean, I'm sure the box will tell you there's fish and chicken.
Right.
But
delicious.
It seems like a high carb diet.
I think the idea is you're not going to eat a lot of cat food. Okay. This is the long and the short of it. At some point, people were like, we as the people don't want to celebrate. We're just watching women walk around in their underwear. And they even said in this that they were really pushing the boundary of softcore porn at this point, which maybe that might be a stretch. I think that might be a stretch. But what is softcore porn?
I don't know.
Thomas, what's softcore porn?
I would leave Thomas out of this.
Well, I feel like he must know. I mean, softcore porn must be.
What do you mean he must know? He's busy working on our podcast. He's not involved in softcore porn.
No, but he knows a lot about a lot.
He likes the hardcore porn.
Hello, everybody. Oh, by the way, I was watching Kelly Clarkson.
Braggadocious alert!
I'm not even saying I was on it. I was watching
it. Doesn't matter.
Although I have been on it several times. But she was introducing somebody.
I haven't
somebody.
Once. Not once. Anyway, go ahead.
She was introducing somebody and she was like, fa, 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 fa. I was like, Kelly's doing the air horn.
She must be a big fan.
She must be.
Of your marathons. Well, I know I've done a braggadocious alert. I don't know if it was on this podcast, but I went out with.
Yeah. Okay. Here
bassist,
we go.
Her bassist.
Oh.
Years ago. Like when I was a teenager, we both lived in Texas.
What?
Yeah. She's a Texas person, and so is he. And I lived in Texas when I was a teenager.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like he was 30 and you were 16.
No, no,
and
no.
Weird.
No, we were.
You were the same age.
Yeah,
he
we
wasn't
were teenagers.
The bassist
no, but
Kelly.
He was a bassist. And then years later, he reached out to me because he saw me on TV and he was like, hey, I'm playing with Kelly Clarkson these days. And so I went to see Kelly Clarkson and reconnected with him. And now we're, you know, Instagram
pals?
Friends.
Oh,
but I don't know if he still plays with her, but he is such an incredible performer. And when I saw Kelly live, I was like, she better thank her lucky star. She has
this person,
this guy in her band, because he is a rock
superstar.
Yeah. And she, you know, kind of stands still when she sings.
Yeah.
And he was like all over the stage.
Ringing it.
Rocking it.
Okay. You know what? We're going to wind it down, Tig. Okay. I think right. we've yeah. really explained
yep.
to everyone.
What happened?
What happened?
A lot of gross people, a lot of abuse, a lot of abuse of power, a lot of money, a lot of things
going
under. The Me
Too movement happened and people were like, okay. And
what
then
are we doing?
All these secrets started being exposed, that these guys, Jeffrey, I mean, there were never seemingly stories of Les Wexner and inappropriate behavior for, just from this documentary, but that certainly also was alluded that he knew.
Which to me is inappropriate behavior.
Yes. So at some point he stepped down and Victoria's Secret is working on rebranding themselves.
And he's still raking in billions.
Yeah. Now they have a group of women called the VS Collective, including Megan Rapinoe. Is that how you say her name?
I don't know.
And Priyano Chopra Jonas.
Sounds good.
Victoria's Secret is still run by a male CEO.
Why would they do that?
I don't know.
I mean, that's just such a weird decision after everything that happens. Like, yep, I got an idea. My buddy Fred will run the place.
I'm going to step down.
Yeah.
Because everybody hates me. But you're going to love this guy.
Yeah.
He knows what women want.
You know what? I'm going to really redo this place. No more, no more angel wings, okay? Angel wings are done. Fred's in the house.
Yeah, the angel wings. I mean, it is hard to watch this documentary because you're like, what were people thinking? Why were millions of people tuning in to watch the prime time Victoria's Secret runway show?
Because women were in their underpants. But here is the thing that might surprise you and might not.
Okay.
I did not even know there was a Victoria's Secret runway show on TV. I never saw it and I never heard about it. When I was watching this documentary, I was like, really?
Well, you know, I had heard about it, but I had never watched it. When I was watching it in like Justin Bieber was singing. And was at one point, was there, was Jay-Z in this where he was also singing at a...
I don't know. I
might have... There's no way to know.
Yeah.
But I was watching it going, wow, I don't remember this being... It was weird.
Yeah.
And now, you know, who we all are now is just like, God, that's weird.
Well, who you hope we all are now.
Yeah.
There's a lot that have not... switched gears, changed direction. They don't see a problem with anything.
And by the way, there is no problem with women walking down the runway in their underwear.
Underpants.
In their underpants. That's great.
No. I want,
people should do whatever they want to do. But to, you know, what happened with Victoria's Secret, they started targeting younger and younger girls. And that's when some people, red flags started going off with especially women saying, are you trying to sell this to tweens? You know, do tweens need to wear thongs? And
That was the other thing is I had never heard of that brand Pink. Like that didn't even sound or look familiar to me.
I know because you don't have a teenage girl.
No, I don't.
But that is part of...
Well, I asked Stephanie because Stephanie is 15 years younger than me. She was like, oh, yeah. She was like, I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. It's fun for that for young girls because they feel like, oh, yeah, I don't want to wear underpants with the days of the week on it anymore. I'm a grown up now.
Why? It's so helpful to have
Sunday, Monday,
Sunday fun day on my underpants.
Jake, are you ready for final thoughts?
Yes, I am, Cheryl.
It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this documentary. Did you cry?
I did not.
Who were you attracted to? This is a hard one.
Well, there were a lot of models.
Right. There are a lot of beautiful people, but... But you know who was... She was very beautiful then, and she's still beautiful.
Oh, I know who.
Go you ahead. Do?
The blonde?
Yeah, Frederick.
Yes, yes. I was like, hello, you.
Hello, Frederick. I think that's her name.
Yeah. I thought she looked better now.
Older? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really,
I mean,
you know.
Of course, an attractive woman then. Yeah.
Who doesn't look good when you're 20?
Well.
Oh, there are a few. Yeah. Let's not name names.
Cheryl Hines.
I had some rough looking years, I'm not going to lie. But it was mostly middle school, we'll say. And high school. Okay.
I wish everyone could see you in your glasses right now. She's wearing... past those days.
I bought these giant glasses so nobody in my house would steal them, and they still do.
They actually look good, Cheryl.
Thanks, Tig. I believe you. That's all for this week's episode. Next week, we'll be talking about Beanie Mania on HBO Max. Okay, Tig, before we go, you want to do some quick true fan mail?
Yes, please.
Lori writes, Hey, Lori. Hey, Tig and Cheryl. Hey, was on a long drive from San Diego to LA yesterday and luckily got to enjoy the new episode on The Bling Ring all in one shot. I agree with so much that you said and have to share the following. Number one, I grew up in the San Fernando Valley and never wanted to steal, nor did my friends. Yeah, okay. Thank you, Lori. And number two, I'm not blaming the victims, but why don't celebrities have security alarms or locks or lock their doors? My husband and I lock our doors and put on the alarm every time we walk out the door, and we are nowhere close to having what these celebrities keep in their homes. It's a fair question.
It is.
Love the show, and you both make me laugh out loud. In the game, who would you like to have dinner with? You are both on my list. Lori.
Lori. And I'm hungry.
Oh, so invite us to dinner.
Yeah.
This is from Becky. Hey, Becky. Come on, ladies. You're killing me. The big avocado pronunciation debate had me shouting at my phone yet again. Tig, what the dickens? In my 47 years, I've never heard your pronunciation. Cheryl was spot on. Love from Spain. Keep it up. XXX.
Wow. Okay.
Let me hear your pronunciation of it.
Avocado.
Yeah. Becky says it's avocado.
Thomas, what do you say?
Avocado.
Thank you.
Oh, you too.
You and Becky can go.
You suck it. Mm-hmm. All right. That's it, you guys.
Avocado.
Avocado? It sounds like you're really trying
You've
to make
You've never heard
sound
someone
fancy.
Say avocado?
How do you say tomato?
Tomato. Okay.
Tomato. Okay.
Do you have anything to promote?
Well.
Yes.
I mean, I'll tell you about it when we get closer.
Okay.
But, you know, you can watch Curb and you can watch, I can't remember the name of it. Doesn't matter. Okay, you go.
I will be in Delaware on Friday, November 4th. I don't know where. I know it's on the beach.
There's no way to know.
A beach town.
Look, Google it.
Yeah, can Google, Google it? My name and Delaware comedy. And November 4th, and I bet you'll find it. But show mm-hmm. up. Come on out. Mm-hmm. Also, my other podcast just came back after a 3 or 4 month hiatus. Don't Ask Tig is back. And I think my first guest already aired, Kristen Bell.
I love me some Kristen Bell.
I do too. I really love me some Kristen Bell.
All right, you guys.
Yeah, but other than that, check out my book and my stand-up specials.
Okay.
Should we do it again?
Yes, let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Thomas Ouellette, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Ouellette, with production assistance from Bobby Pearson. Music by David Sesson. Special thanks to Gabby Kovacic, Patrick McDonald, and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.